You listen to Live with Rank.
95.3 WBCK.
Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man. Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. It's gonna have to be a different man.
You listen to Live with Rank. Appreciate that very, very much. On air with me is Congressman Justin Amash, the Republican slash Libertarian slash Constitutionalist from the 3rd District here in Michigan, discussing some big events that have been happening lately. And certainly he has been on air, getting some pub with that. Is that fair for me to say you're a Republican slash Libertarian slash Constitutionalist, Congressman Amash?
I don't know about that. I'm libertarian philosophically, but my party's Republican, and that's just how it works. There are some progressives who are Democrats. They don't call themselves necessarily, you know, progressive. They might call themselves.
Well, I mean, libertarian's not a bad thing, but I got you. Yeah. Okay, real quickly before we move on, because it directly affects your constituents here in Michigan, someone emailed me and asked me to ask you about the progress of the proposed missile base here in the Battle Creek area and where you stand on supporting it.
Well, so I don't have any update on that. I've always been supportive of our community, and when we have these sorts of subjects come up, I always make a pitch for our community. But I also believe that the Department of Defense and other departments of government should always make the decision that's in the best interest of the country.
Okay. Real quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, a lot of things I'd like to cover. Before the last break, we were talking about, and we ended the segment with a couple questions I had for you. And that was because news that broke from your three-hour town hall. By the way, you have a town hall today in Penfield, do you not?
That's right. Yes.
Do you know where in Penfield?
Yeah, it's at the Penfield High School Auditorium, and it's at 5:30, and that's 8299 Penfield Road.
All right, there you go. Yesterday, you had quite a big one. They said 2-3 hours you spoke at, and in it, you said that the House Speaker should play a nonpartisan, quote-unquote, role, focus more on the process than politics. And then you said, quote, we can fix it, but we need either a change in direction from the speaker or we need a new speaker, end quote. What did you mean by that? What is Speaker Ryan not doing that you would like to see him do? Because as I stated, you see different headlines across here in Michigan and I assume the country from the national papers and national news that you're calling for the ouster or the what have you of Speaker Ryan.
Well, it's the position I've held for years. It's not a new position that the speaker should play a nonpartisan role. In fact, in 2015, I just pulled it up on my phone, I wrote an op-ed that was on CNN. Anyone can check it out. It's called The House GOP's Governed by Crisis Model is Broken, and that's the CNN headline that they gave to it. And I said in that piece that the speaker's first priority must be to defend the institution on behalf of all Americans. While the speaker may have a role in policy debates, that role cannot trump his obligation to uphold House process. This has always been my position. I've always said that a speaker should be nonpartisan. What happens too often in Congress is the speaker playing a partisan role ends up rigging the process so that certain outcomes are achieved, and then the will of the American people is thwarted. And I think you should have an open process where everyone is allowed to offer their ideas, offer their amendments, and then we allow votes on the House floor, and those votes determine the outcome. And sometimes Republicans will win, sometimes Democrats will win, sometimes it'll be a mix. You'll have some Republicans with some Democrats. And the people at home then can decide, do they like how their member of Congress is voting, or don't they like it? And that's how our system is supposed to work. And there's nothing to fear if you're a Republican, because there are 240-something Republicans and only 190 Democrats. So if you're a Republican, you should say, well, we love an open process. We have more Republicans anyways, so we're going to win most of the time. So this isn't that would be a nonpartisan process, and that's how the speaker should operate. But instead what we get...
Well, let me ask you this before you go there. How did this come up? In what context did this come up?
Oh, it came up... I was asked at the town hall, why is Washington so dysfunctional?
Okay.
And I explained the process like I do at every town hall. In fact, this wasn't something new. For some reason, CNN, in their reporting, decided to run it as some kind of new story. I've been saying this repeatedly for years under this speaker and under the previous speaker. Now, I thought that the new speaker, Speaker Ryan, had or deserved an opportunity to show that he could operate in a different way from Speaker Boehner, in a more nonpartisan way, in a more process-oriented way. And that's something I had told the speaker when I first voted for him when he ran for speaker. I said, you're going to have to shift from policy direction to more of a process direction. And so far, I haven't seen it. So all I was saying is what I've said many times, which is that we need a nonpartisan, process-oriented speaker. And if not, then someone else can do the job.
But and right now you feel that Speaker Ryan is not being nonpartisan and process driven.
He hasn't been. In fact, on the legislation we've seen so far this year, we've had less opportunity for amendments and less opportunity for ideas to rise through the system.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to when I first got here, which is startling because Speaker Boehner, I think, did not do a very good job, and most people agree with that. But there were many ways in which the process was more open under Speaker Boehner. Now, over time, Speaker Boehner also closed down the process. He was more open when we first got to Congress, when he first took the speakership, and he became more closed over time. I was hopeful that Speaker Ryan would change course, open it back up, but that hasn't happened. It's been a continuation of what I would call the late period Speaker Boehner.
Well, do you get any opportunity to address this issue with Speaker Ryan?
We have an opportunity every week to address it. So I've brought it up. I brought it up with this health care bill when we were talking about the arbitrary deadline. And I asked Speaker Ryan directly, who's in charge of the House? Is it President Trump or is it Speaker Ryan? Because this idea that you put an arbitrary deadline in place to pass something is ridiculous. We have time to work on this, and we shouldn't rush through something as big as the health care legislation.
Well, the problem most of us have out here, pundits like myself, talk radio show hosts, as well as all your constituents and in fact, Republicans out there, what have they been doing? What have you guys been doing for 7 years? Why wasn't there something already in place that pretty much these different factions within the Republican Party could agree on?
Well, I think part of the problem is that people's views have changed, or now that they are in a position where they actually can get something signed into law, they are nervous. We have a sizable segment of our party who don't actually want to repeal Obamacare and aren't interested in changing it all that much, and they're pushing back.
Why is that, Congressman Amash?
Why is that?
Yes.
I think they look at some of the polling and they think there are people who like it now, and they are not really thinking about the long-term consequences. I mean, we can all see that it doesn't work. That it does help some people, absolutely. There are going to be people listening to this radio interview who say, yeah, it works for me. And I'm sure there are people who it works for and for whom it reduces their insurance costs. But for so many Americans, it is raising the cost of insurance, raising the cost of health care ultimately for them, at least as far as they're concerned, because they're paying through insurance. So we need to address that, and the only way to address that is to start over.
Well, real quickly,
you can't just do these little tweaks, because when you just tweak it, you are keeping Obamacare in place, and the system is not designed to function properly. And when you just take out one piece at a time, you might actually make it worse. And I think that's actually what they were doing with the AHCA.
Well, that's what I want to get to, because first of all, don't these people who are now maybe seeing a different light, Republicans, because they don't want the responsibility of shaking the boat, don't they know that this is, they're going to, one, Obamacare implodes in a year or two, it's going to be on their watch, they will get blamed for it, number one.
Yep.
And number two, what do you, and by you, I know I mean I'm talking about the Freedom Caucus, what do you want to see in a bill that would repeal and replace Obamacare?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I don't want to speak for the Freedom Caucus on the phone, because that's not how we work.
Okay.
We work together, and I don't want to speak for them without having their authority to speak for the group. But what I'll say for myself is that the most bipartisan, least controversial approach is to let the states handle health care. It's by far the best way to handle this. The reason we have so much tension in the country over healthcare is because we have centralized it. It's all being handled by the federal government. And when you centralize it, you have one rule for all. And that's not appropriate for a country that's as diverse as ours, that has states with very different populations, very different desires. I mean, some states are very different in their makeup and in how they want their state to be governed. So you're best off, if you want to maximize happiness, letting different states decide. And if some states want to have Obamacare, or if some states want to have single payer, that's up to them. I don't have any problem with Vermont deciding that they're going to have some kind of single payer system. That's Vermont's decision.
But how? What would happen then?
Michigan can make another decision, and some other state can do something else.
Would you then look to block grant money to these states and say, do with it what you want?
Well, I think you might do that in a transition period. But ultimately, what you want is for states to tax their own people and for the federal government to stop taxing people and then just sending money back to the states. Block grants in the long run aren't smart. I mean, they might be okay as a transition mechanism. But ultimately, you want states to tax the people. And what's happening in our country is our state governments, because they can't print money, they want to shift the burden to the federal government, because they know the federal government can just print money and borrow. And so states are taking less and less responsibility for things that are state functions. They want to put everything on the federal government. And that's not how our system was designed, because...
All right, I got to go to break, Congressman Amash. Sorry about that. I want to come back one more time on the other side and talk about the Syrian issue and the bombing last week. You're listening to Live with Rank. We'll be right back after this.
95.3 WBCK.